April 10th meeting of the House Elections Ethics and Rules Committee to order. Welcome back, members. Welcome back, especially Representative Esquivel. We're very glad to see you.
Thank you.
And I will open a work session on House Bill 2007. Mr. Stenberg?
Madam Chair, House Bill 2007 is the bill that creates the contract relationship of civil unions. You have the Dash 3 amendment, which is a committee amendment. You also have the fiscal report on the Dash 3 amendment.
I see Dave Hendricks from Legislative Council in the room. Would you please come forward and tell us what these amendments do?
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Legislative Council's office. The Dash 3 amendments, although they're long, a lot of it is simply changing the terminology in the bill. The bill, as came through last session and has been up to this point, 2007, is referred to civil unions. These amendments would change it to a domestic partnership. Consequently, in lieu of civil unions, the bill now talks about domestic partnerships throughout. So that's a lot of it. It's just changing that term. Not a lot of legal significance to that. It is purely terminology. A couple of other things the amendments do, though, that are a little more significant, or legally significant anyway, is on page 2, basically resolves this question relating to where you would have venue, where you could, which county you could bring a case in for a petition for the dissolution or annulment of a domestic partnership. It will be a little bit different than what it is for a petition for dissolution of marriage, basically allowing a petition be filed in the county where either the petitioner or the respondent last resided. So in essence, that's a slightly different standard than what we currently have for dissolution of marriage. Not hugely significant, but does clarify where it is you can commence an action to dissolve it. We currently have these types of cases already in the courts. I had one about way too many years ago, 25 years ago. One of the first cases I had was a petition for a dissolution of a domestic partnership. So that's actually not new to Oregon law. This is something we've had in the past. It's just that we didn't have any way to recognize formally what domestic partnerships were. Most of the changes on page 3 and also the amendments that show up to 432.005 on page 4 were intended to allow the Vital Records Office to basically charge a fee for the filing of a declaration of domestic partnership or a dissolution of domestic partnership. The original bill said that these types of things were not vital records at all, were not subject to the chapter, which meant that when you filed them, they would not have been able to collect the fee. This will allow the Vital Records Office to collect that fee the same as they would when you file a marriage certificate or if you file a...
Mr. Hendricks, could you just tell us where you are?
Oh, I'm sorry. On page 3...
Of the amendments?
I thought you said...
Of the amendments.
Right.
On page 3, section...
Of the amendments.
Middle of the page.
Middle of the page, lines 16 to 18. That was one of the changes made. The most significant ones on page 4, okay, where you see section 16 amended. And if you work your way down to page 6, we've defined vital records to include declaration of domestic partnership or dissolution of domestic partnership. So these will now be vital records, vital statistics that are subject to all the other rules. The only exception being that we are saying they are going to be open to public disclosure, since many vital statistics are not. So that's the one difference that's there.
Oh, Madam Chair, if I may interrupt, but that would be a new section to the bill, isn't that correct?
That's correct. And then going back to page 3, looking at line 27 and following after thereafter, the bill was drafted, had language in it already relating to PERS benefits and whether or not you would need to extend benefits to a domestic partner under PERS. There are some issues with that because of the federal tax qualification of the PERS program. In looking at that, people recognize that PERS isn't the only public employee plan that we have in this state. We have many, we have the City of Portland, for instance, has the Portland Police and Firefighters Fund. And consequently, this language that appears on page 3, starting at line 27, would expand this exemption to any other employee benefit plan, deferred compensation plan, other plans offered by public employees. On page 4, following down there at subsection 7, this is kind of a belts and suspenders provision. It says that section 1 to 9 of the Act do not require the extension of any benefit under any employee benefit plan that is subject to federal regulation under ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. As a practical matter, that's the case anyway, because ERISA preempts all such laws, which is why we never have any bills coming through this body that relate to private retirement plans. Federal law completely preempts that area, and we are unable to do that. And then the final thing is on page 7 of the amendments, a little tweak to 432.408, which would indicate that a dissolution of domestic partnership judgment would basically be filed with the Center for Health Certificates in the same way that records of dissolution of marriage judgments are filed there. And that's about it. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of counsel? Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see the relating to clause, but I guess this still only applies to same-sex domestic partnerships now.
Correct.
They extend to any other pair of people. Okay.
Representative Rosemont, Representative Thatcher, that's correct. This does not change the bill's application, who it is that is eligible to form a domestic partnership.
Other questions? Yes, Representative Pent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave, help me with Section 16. It talks about amending ORS 432.005, but it looks like it's just restating 432.005 exactly as it is. What am I missing there? What's the change?
If you go on to page 6, this one goes on for a ways. It has 18 subsections. And if you look at line 14, where the definition of vital records is, and also down in 18, the definition of vital statistics would now include, that was not in the original bill, so this would say these are vital records, these are vital statistics, and subject to the laws relating to filing and paying fees.
So if I could just clarify, Madam Chair.
Yes, follow up.
So in terms of the bottom half of page 4, all of page 5 and the top half of page 6, that's just restating what's already in the statute. No other change. Okay.
That is correct, Representative Hunt.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chair will call Representative Kochek. Please come forward. Good morning. Welcome back to the Elections Committee. And do you have some comments on these amendments?
I do. Thank you. For the record, I'm Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. Thanks for having me back. And just want to start off by thanking you for the robust public dialogue last night on House Bill 2007, Senate Bill 2, and thank you for staying so late. I'm sorry I had to leave a little early, but had to get home. I was a carpool. I'm here today to talk about the Dash 3 amendments in support of changing the terminology to describe legally recognized relationships that are established in this bill, replacing the civil union terminology with domestic partnerships. I've spoken with constituents in my district and Oregonians from around the state about this bill, and it's become increasingly clear that domestic partnership would be a better term to use in this bill. It's far more understandable and, for that reason, for clarity, just a better choice. The term domestic partner, as you know, has been around for quite a while. I actually spent some time when I was in graduate school fighting for domestic partner benefits. We've been working on this a long time. So people are familiar with the term, they know what it means, much more than they are with civil unions, which is a relatively new term. Many Oregon employers in the private sector and even in the public sector use domestic partnerships. They've been doing benefits for years and are more so are doing every day. So for that reason, I think it's a better term. And we look to our neighbors to the south in California. They have a statewide law granting similar rights to same-sex couples. And in California, they call it domestic partnerships. So we could have some consistency there. Oregonians understand that domestic partnerships are exactly what they are. They're couples who are not married but who are committed to each other and make up a family. That's exactly the situation many same-sex couples and their families in Oregon are in, but without legal representation and recognition. These are the couples that we want to protect with House Bill 2007, with all the rights and protections under the law. And so I just want to urge your support of changing the terminology to use domestic partnerships for the sake of clarity and understanding out in the general public. So thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for the representative? Okay, thank you very much for your comments.
All right, thank you.
Members, we are in a work session. That's Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendments to House Bill 2007.
Representative Buckley moves the dash three amendments to House Bill 2007. Is there any discussion? Is there, well, Representative Thatcher?
I don't know. It just seems like we're just trying to move semantics around, and you could call it buttered spinach, but it'd still be basically, in my opinion, marriage by another name, and that's, whether you call it civil union or domestic partnership or whatever, I just feel like we're just moving words around.
Thanks for your comments. Further discussion? Is there objection to the amendment? Okay. Dash threes are adopted. Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2007 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves House Bill 2007 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Yes, Representative Thatcher.
I still think it would be more fair to include anybody who cannot marry, any two people who cannot marry, otherwise marry. That would be more fair rather than basing it on a sexual relationship, and I think we should adopt the amendments that were proposed by Representative Richardson last night.
Thank you for your comments. Further discussion? Yes, Vice Chair Berger.
Madam Chair, I will be supporting this proposal, but I will not speak to it now. I'll save my remarks for the floor.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Members, I appreciate your stalwart work last night at the hearing. I think that this bill its time has come, and I'm very pleased that it will be moving out of committee today. And with that, will you please call the roll?
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
No.
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Chair Rosenthal?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 2007 will move to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. I will carry the bill as well as Representative Kotek as co-carrier. Members, as you know, and well remember, we had a great deal of testimony last night on the other bill, Senate Bill 2, and so we are in the process of digesting that input. And I think that we are not quite ready to work that bill this morning. So
that's true.
We are going to be coming back this evening at 5 o'clock. Hopefully you can. I think we checked all your schedules, and that should work for everyone. So at this point, we are in. Anything further, Mr. Stenbridge?
Just to point out that we'll be back in this room.
We will be back in this same room at 5 p.m., and we are in recess. The April 10th meeting of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 2.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 2 prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation. You have what I've distributed is the dash 1, which we have had for a day, and the dash 10. I understand there may be other amendments.
I believe that that could be true. So, members, we are in a work session. We obviously had a lot of testimony on this bill, and a lot of hard work has gone into it. And I am ready to entertain any amendments. Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I have a dash 6 amendment I'd like to distribute and move for consideration.
Show us that by a short amendment.
It's a very short amendment, and Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me, I'd be glad to explain my thoughts behind this amendment.
Okay, I believe your amendment has been distributed, and there are 10 copies out now for the audience. And so if you'd like to go ahead and tell us about this
amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, for me, this issue comes down to whether you believe homosexuality is what one is born with, or if you believe homosexuality is a behavior that's chosen. My life experience, my work experience, has proven to me that homosexuality is what people are born with. And if I follow that course of thought, it's extremely hard for me to vote for legislation that discriminates in any way against someone because of the way that they are born. It's no different than when my ancestors came here from Ireland, my grandparents came here, and there were signs that said, no Irish need apply. Basically, I'm going to vote for legislation that is going to say, no gays or lesbians need apply. These are my friends. These are my neighbors. These are my coworkers. These are people I love. These are people who have made a huge difference in my life and the lives of my family. And it's extremely hard for me to accept discrimination against them in any form. I do understand that this is a difficult change for our state or for any state to make. It's a difficult step forward for our culture. However, I believe the discrimination against people who are born the way they are born should be eliminated if possible. If not, it should be limited to the greatest extent possible. The amendment that I'm putting forward is pretty simple. It takes out housing or use of facilities. To me, that is a way that we can actually make a step that says that we're trying to listen to people's concerns on their religious beliefs. However, we are not going to allow people to be discriminated against because they are who they are and how they were born. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Buckley has moved the dash 6 amendments. Further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
To the amendment, I will speak later to the religious exemption piece. I appreciate the sentiments of the representative. I think that there is a need for a religious exemption in here that's a little stronger than this amendment, and I won't be supporting it, but I appreciate the sentiments that it is offered in.
Okay. Further discussion? Yes.
Representative
Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, believe in my heart that what Mr. Representative Buckley has said is true with respect to many people who I have come in contact with and students that I've worked with. At the same time, I truly concur with Representative Berger on this issue with respect to the religious exemption, and so I, too, will be against this amendment.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, we are on the dash 6 amendments. Is there objection?
Yes.
There is. Well.
Good try, though, Madam Chair.
Yes. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Buckley.
And thank you, Madam Chair. Aye.
Representative
Estrom. Excused.
No.
Representative Roebling.
No.
Representative Thatcher.
No.
Representative
Berger. No. Aye. Motion fails. Okay. Vice Chair, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You have a copy in front of you of the Dash 10 amendments. I apologize, these are not as brief as Vice Chair Buckley's amendments. But I think they really do try and get at the, the core issue, and Vice Chair Buckley was talking about, I think, this balance, which is a difficult one to strike, of how we put out, I think, really the twin values of ensuring fair and equal treatment of the law for all Oregonians, regardless of sexual orientation, and the free exercise of religion. I don't think they're not things that should trump each other. They're just twin goals, I think, certainly for me, and I think most of us and the majority of Oregonians. The Dash 10 amendments attempt to really take into account what we have heard from Oregonians. We've had, obviously, hours and hours of testimony. We've had lots of meetings. We've had lots of email. We've had lots of phone calls. And this attempts to incorporate both, frankly, I think what we've heard back, that the vast majority of Oregonians do believe that discrimination is wrong. And at the same time, many folks have stepped up and expressed concern about the way the religious exemption was constructed. And so the Dash 10 amendments try to make several changes to the way it was constructed. And I'll try to go through them and flag them for you, because it's always kind of difficult to see in amendments. So this is on the Dash 10 amendments. On one of the things it does is remove the word sectarian. I know my friend Representative Thatcher loves the word sectarian, would like to have it stay in there, but this amendment would remove the word sectarian. And that's true, I believe, on line 2, on line 9, and on line 22, actually. So it now reads in those sections, bona fide church or other religious institution. It removes the word sectarian in those places. It also breaks apart, to some degree, in keeping with what Vice Chair Buckley was referencing in terms of the housing and facility piece. It breaks apart housing and facilities on one hand and then employment on the other. It leaves the same standard that was in the same religious exemption that was in the original draft of the bill for housing and facilities, with the exception of changing the word sectarian. Section 4 also remains the same in terms of the allowing employment practices that would protect that would allow employers to make employment decisions based on religious issues. But section number 5 is really the completely new language, saying it is not unlawful employment practice. That's a legal way of saying it is lawful employment practice for a bona fide church or other religious institution to take any employment action based on a bona fide religious belief about sexual orientation. And then it has these three subcategories. A, in employment positions directly related to the operation of a church or other place of worship, such as clergy, religious instructors, and support staff. The intent of that is to more explicitly say if a church or a temple or a mosque is employing a custodian or a secretary or whatever that employee is, that position would clearly qualify for this exemption. B, in employment positions in a nonprofit religious school, nonprofit religious camp, nonprofit religious daycare center, nonprofit religious thrift store, nonprofit religious bookstore, nonprofit religious radio station, or nonprofit religious shelter. Those would also qualify explicitly for the religious exemption. And again, I think much of the testimony we've heard is that there are many of these organizations around. I think all of our intent all along was to have them be part of this exclusion. This now explicitly makes it clear that they do qualify for that, so rather than being resolved in a court, it can just be resolved explicitly in statute. I will also note that the word nonprofit is there, that our intent is not to cover for-profit. Our intent is not to have the exemption apply to for-profit businesses. And then C, really, if it doesn't fit A or B, C has a little bit higher bar. In other employment positions that involve religious activities, as long as the employment involved is closely connected with or related to the primary purposes of the church or institution and is not connected with a commercial or business activity that has no necessary relationship to a church or institution. Trying to apply, so there will be other examples beyond those listed in A and B, And they would just need to demonstrate that the employment is closely connected with or related to the primary purposes of the church or institution. That's a, although I'm not an attorney, I have been consistently told, and I think we've heard testimony, that that's a time-honored legal terminology that's been tested in the courts, both the closely connected and primary purpose standard. And that will allow an additional opportunity for the religious churches and institutions to be exempt, but they would have to meet that test. So I would move the dash 10 amendments to Senate Bill 2. I probably should have done that before I spoke to you.
I was just going to say, I thought you did begin with that motion. Representative Hunt has moved the dash 10 amendments to Senate Bill 2. And just to clarify, on page 2, Representative Hunt, there's an A, B, and C. Those are three independent circumstances, correct, that you don't have to meet all of those tests. You can meet any one of those tests.
Madam Chair, you are absolutely correct. And so I might also say along those lines, so Section 3 now is the standard, the religious exemption applying to housing and facilities. Section 4 is the religious exemption applying to employment based on religion. And Section 5 is the employment religious exemption based on belief about sexual orientation. So it breaks the original version, they were more combined. This breaks them apart more explicitly and tries to list out things, I think, very much in response to the concerns we've heard from many of our constituents.
Okay, discussion. Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, first I'd like to comment on the proposed amendment, but just in terms of process, Vice Chair Berger is dash 12 year.
Okay.
I'm trying to find a difference between 12 and 10.
Well,
years.
We'll get to this point and I'll explain it.
All right, thank you. thank you. Members, I would point you to the page 2, line 1. You know, you take it from the bottom of the first page, actually, and if you look at based on a bona fide religious belief about sexual orientation, if I replace that to a bona fide religious belief about racial equality, I have a real hard time with particularly getting down to employment positions. I do understand in terms of clergy. I will support this amendment as a compromise, but I struggle with this, I just have to say.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion, Vice Chair Berger.
Madam Chair, while I appreciate the spirit of this amendment, I don't think it goes far enough. I'm going to vote against it in hopes of persuading you to go a little farther with my amendment.
Okay, so we have some who think it goes not far enough and some who think it goes too far. And is there further discussion?
Well, I just wanted to say I think it's an improvement.
Representative Thatcher?
Thank you. You looked at me, so I assume. I think it's an improvement, but I'm hoping we can look at the dash 12 before. Maybe we'll have to revisit it, but for now I would rather see the dash 12s be adopted, which we haven't really discussed yet, but...
Okay, further discussion? Okay, Representative Hunt has moved the dash 10 amendments to Senate Bill 2. Is there objection?
Yes.
Please call the roll.
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative
Thatcher? No.
Representative Berger?
No.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Estabrook?
Excused.
Aye. Motion carries. Dash 10s are adopted. And, yes,
Madam Chair.
Chair Berger.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would submit to you the dash 12 amendments. I know it seems complicated, but I would, the reason that I have waited to submit them till the dash 10s is because, as Representative Buckley indicated, they are very similar. But there's a couple of very key pieces that are different that mean a lot to the religious institutions, and that, you know, we are trying to do some things here that will make this thing, this whole large piece of legislation, be generally thought of as something that people can come together on, and I think that last night we heard a lot of heartfelt testimony from religious communities. And what I'm attempting to do here is parse this in such a way that we can bring some of the of those folks on board and feel protected in this religious exemption to the extent that their beliefs are not threatened or less threatened. So let me explain to you what's different between the dash 10 and the dash 12s. It's a simple words, but they mean a lot. And I think Representative Hutt hit on one of them. You will notice in the dash 10 amendments on line 6, there's the word, is, and I'm starting on line 5, is closely connected with or related to the primary purpose of the church or institution. In the dash 12 amendments, that word primary is taken out. Okay? It is a critical piece because it talks about the whole church or institution, not just a sort of a laser-like primary. The same thing is true down on line 18 of the dash 10s and the dash 12s. The word primary is gone in front of purposes. Do you see the difference? Then on the back side, in the sub B section, and the first line in the dash 10s has an employment position in a nonprofit religious school. The important language here is to be more inclusive. This is a named list. The dash 12s adds including but not limited to in front of that list, which changes the meaning. I think you understand the difference in that. It instead of closing the list, it opens the list, and it is a critical piece of information that I think is really important for these religious institutions. That's the substantive difference. And then, again, on the same page, line 12, the word primary, again, is removed. That makes the language consistent throughout in taking out the word primary purposes. So that is the short and sweet about what's different about this. These are very important considerations for the religious institutions who really, I think, want to have the kind of religious protection for that they feel they're entitled with regard to this piece of legislation, and I think is important for all of us. So I therefore move the dash 12 amendments, Madam Chair.
And actually, Representative Berger, it is not really in order to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then make a motion, but perhaps Representative Thatcher would like to make a motion.
Madam Chair, I would like to move the dash 12 amendment.
Thank you. Sorry. Representative Thatcher moves the dash 12 amendments to Senate Bill 2. Is there further discussion? Yes, Representative Hunt.
I really appreciate the good intent with which the dash 12s are drafted in terms of, I think the fact that we are so close in terms of language, I just think is a real testament to kind of all sides of this issue, trying to find common ground that do at the core extend these protections in terms of prohibiting discrimination while maintaining the core free exercise of religion. My concern, again, not being a lawyer, is that the case law, the terms closely connected and primary purpose are so well known and tested in religious free exercise case law, and I think that is I think in the dash 10 that we just adopted, so now the bill as it stands amended before us, the religious exemption is very strong, very explicit, and I worry that this creates, that the dash 12s would create a much larger hole that would not be protecting core faith-based activities, but really get involved in things that are much much broader. So with that being true, I will reluctantly oppose the dash 12s.
Okay. Any further discussion? Vice Chair Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your indulgence, members. Again, I go back. We sat through a lot of testimony last night, and I try to find a middle ground, trying to really listen to people, and I do respect people's religious beliefs. But I feel like I need to say, in my belief, homosexuality is not immoral. These are people I know. These are people I love. I am extremely uncomfortable with discriminating against them. The dash 10 to me is a compromise as far as I'm willing to go. And the provision of 5C, I think, makes it really clear that in other employment positions, I think it covers everything that the dash 12 might possibly want to cover. And again, for the record, I just want to say my beliefs are as valid as anyone's, and in my heart, I believe homosexuality is not immoral. Gays and lesbians in our state are not immoral people. Intolerance and hatred are immoral. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Thatcher.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. As far as I know, we've never litigated the discrimination code as far as it relates to primary purpose in Oregon, so there really isn't anything to base a decision to say, well, that must be good because it hasn't been litigated. All I know is defining a primary purpose should be left to the church or the religious institution and not to the court, and I just think it puts us on the track of making the courts decide such an issue. As far as the discrimination code as it is now, you brought up the word race. I don't think race was ever considered a moral issue for churches, whereas behavior or, you know, choosing to live this lifestyle is considered immoral. Not that we don't love, not that we don't reach out, not that we aren't friends. It's immoral just as in the same ranks as adultery. You know, we know people that live that lifestyle, and we still love them. We still are friends with them. I don't think there's any hate involved here. You will have bigots no matter what, wherever. But I think for the most part, just because one has a belief that homosexuality is immoral doesn't mean that you hate or are intolerant. You accept and love everybody. But, you know, there's better... Churches are just trying to help you be a better person and get closer to God and his you know, what the church interprets to be his way. So I just feel like a primary purpose is an important thing to take out the primary. And as far as listing out which particular employment positions in specific organizations, it's delineated right here. And it just seems like, well, what about a non-profit religious TV station? I mean, that's not in there. I mean, why are we delineating? We should say including but not limited to.
Thank you. Yes, Representative.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, would you allow me to speak one more time?
Yes, please go ahead.
I appreciate it. Committee members, we are so close, and yet a few words matter a lot. I would like to sort of reiterate what my colleague from Kaiser just said. We have sort of shared positive here. We want to offer protection to a group who is felt to be vulnerable, but we also want to retain within that the sort of religious freedom that is so fundamental to who we are and what we are as Americans. And there are some very heartfelt and sincere religious issues here. And I know that there is an ugly side to discrimination, but there is also heartfelt difference of opinion as to what this is. And for those who are of certain religious, sincerely held persuasions, this is a critical piece to make sure their rights aren't stamped upon in terms of the free exercise of what they do in their religious institutions. We're not talking about outside of those. We're talking about what happens inside
their religious institutions. And what we're trying to do is put a box around what that is. This language in the dash 12 is where they would like that box to be. And it is not offered as in any way to try and get out of something or get out from under something or not follow the law, but it is trying to describe in an important statute where they believe their freedom of religion is sort of the primary piece that should hold sway. I would commend it to you, and I really, we are so close, I would like very much to get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunt.
I appreciate one additional bite at the apple.
Yes, go ahead.
Just as well, thank you, Madam Chair. The one thing Representative Thatcher noted, that there is not a big body of case like there is at the federal level in terms of the terms closely connected and related to the primary purpose. The flip side of that, though, is the fact that those terms are specifically used in the current religious exemption that allows a Baptist church to not hire a Catholic or Mormon or a Jewish person or a Muslim, that is the language already used in there. The closely connected and related to the primary purposes of the church or institution. And that has worked. And the fact that there's not a great body of case law, I think, is actually a positive factor that demonstrates that that language has worked in Oregon in terms of allowing churches to discriminate is not really the right term, but allowing churches to select applicants for employment from their own religious group or sect, as the statute says. So I think we actually have proven language that not only has a lot of proven meaning at the federal level in terms of federal case law, but has a proven application here that has not resulted in problematic implementation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, members, for a good discussion. Please call the roll.
Representative Rutland?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Buckley?
No.
Excused?
No.
No. Motion fails.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Buckley.
I move Senate Bill 2 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves Senate Bill 2 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Yes, Vice Chair Berger.
I'm going to reserve full comments on this for floor speeches, but I would like to say in my disappointment that I was unable to convince you folks to go with my amendment that I am heartened that the Dash 10 amendments that have been amended are an improvement over the original bill. And I think we have made progress on this issue. I just wish it had been a little further progress, Madam Chair, and I will support the bill.
Other comments? Colleagues, I think that... Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Thatcher?
It's not that important. I just think it will open the doors to increased litigation and whether through religious institutions or just businesses, regardless of the testimony to the contrary, I really think it'll hit smaller businesses harder than it would the bigger businesses that they were mostly referring to in their testimony. So,
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's always interesting. I think this is true in a lot of committees. As we get into bills, we kind of get down in the weeds of specific meaning around words and amendments, and I think it's very easy to forget kind of the big picture of the bill that we're about to pass out. Has been 30 years in coming, and I think it's really a very significant accomplishment for you, Madam Chair, and for this legislature to be moving forward on legislation that is going to finally provide protection against discrimination for all Oregonians, regardless of sexual orientation, and at the same time put in what I believe is the strongest religious re-exercise statute in the state in terms of protecting, in terms of providing that religious exemption. So I just think it's, as I try to get out of the weeds of the specifics of the amendments, I just think it's a very very exciting accomplishment for this committee and for you.
And I agree with those comments. I, colleagues, think that we have done some excellent work with this bill. It certainly has, Senate Bill 2 has probably produced more passion and strong reaction than I have seen in my time in this building. I came across the language that's in the law, and I think it's really interesting because it says it is declared to be the public policy of Oregon that practices of discrimination against any of its inhabitants because of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, national origin, marital status, age, or disability are a matter of state concern, and that this discrimination not only threatens the rights and privileges of its inhabitants, but menaces the institutions and foundation of a free democratic state. I think, speaking for myself, that this bill really is basically about justice and that its time has come, and I think it's a very proud day for the state of Oregon. And I thank the committee members, and please call the roll.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
No. Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 2 as amended will go to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. I will carry the bill, and Representative McPherson will be the co-carrier. And thank you for all of your great work the last few days. And members, we are adjourned.